the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
You know, one of the things I love about the book of Isaiah, even though it's an Old Testament book, and in fact it was written about 750 years before the birth of Christ, it reminds me of Christmas. Maybe it's because we've all heard Handel's Messiah and that great refrain, "For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given." And we'll get there through Isaiah 7, Isaiah 9, all those great messianic passages. But we invite you to turn to Isaiah, and we'll pick it up again today, Bert Harper and I. But Bert, we're going to begin today with something that is Christmassy, because one thing that the American Family Association does every year, which is really reminded thousands, countless thousands, multitudes of people about the reason for the season, it's the Christmas Button Campaign, and we're going to begin by talking about that, aren't we?
We really are, and it's been around a while. It was Brother Don Wildman's idea, and when he brought it to people, they thought, how old that was, but it caught on, and it's still going. And this year, we got a new button, and it is. I'm wearing it, matter of fact, and those of you that are live, streaming live, I'll hold it up here, and I think you can see it. It's a beautiful button, and so that one there. Okay, get the right camera. We got more than one camera in
here.
Says
Jesus.
Yeah, it does, and then it's in the manger under. So it's a beautiful button, and I'm wearing one as well. And we have someone here, and again, it's an honor to be called this at AFR. Not everybody would say, oh, the button man, but here at AFR, it's an honor. We have with us this year, as we've had in previous years, Reverend Jerry Lawson. Brother Jerry, thank you for coming today.
It is a delight to be here with you, Bert and Alec.
Welcome back, sir.
Yeah, from Ackerman, Mississippi. Now, if anybody doesn't know where that is, they need to find out, don't they? Get a map and look for it, and you'll see it.
We're on the Google map. Yes, we are.
Been there. Buddy Smith, vice president here for years from there. You and he are friends, and we were standing around just a few minutes ago, Alex. We don't talk about our denomination because we work with all. But here we were, Buddy. Now, he's a global Methodist. Presbyterian.
Cumberland Presbyterian.
Okay.
Yep.
And then Bert Harper, Southern Baptist. We were standing there just fellowshipping in Christ Jesus. A little bit of heaven, brother.
Amen.
Telling you.
Amen.
Hey,
well,
Bert.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is easily a decade ago, but I was in a grocery store in my hometown of Greensboro, North Carolina, and I had on one of the AFA Christmas buttons. And somebody in line, I didn't know them, but they said, "Where can I get one of those buttons?" And I said, "Well, you can have this one." And in fact, I had a couple of more in the car. But it was a great conversation starter, and the people around us in line were looking, and I was showing, and I was talking about AFA. But the witnessing opportunity, Brother Jerry has really taken this on. And Pastor Jerry, I want you to tell your story because I think it's so inspiring.
Well, 20 years ago, I was in a box store, and I went to say Merry Christmas, and the lady held up her finger and said, "Shh, you can't say that in here." And that just upset me. And then all of a sudden, Bill O'Reilly's talking about the war on Christmas, and I guess I live a sheltered life down there in Ackerman, but I didn't know there was a war on Christmas. And then the next thing I knew, Don Wildman was talking about it, and he was coming out with these Christmas buttons. And I thought, well, the Lord has led me to these Christmas buttons, and so I want to start passing them out. And I tell you, the joy and the journey passing these buttons out, I've met so many wonderful forever friends and family members that I'll spend eternity in heaven with. I just wonder if they're wearing these Christmas buttons up there.
Maybe. It
Amen.
May be.
How did you hear about Jesus? Well, my first was Jesus Christmas button from AFA. What a joy that! Let me give this because I want to make sure we get it in. You will want to get these new ones. They're awesome. I have the whole collection. I got them, and I've worn them and shared them, but I always keep one back.
Yes,
okay,
yes,
Jerry.
Yes.
So I have one back, and so I got them on a tie. buttons on a tie, and so at home. But you want to order them, you can go to resources.afa.net, resources.afa.net, or you can call this number. Now, get ready to write it in, put it in your phone, and then call it at any time, 1-877-927-4917. Sevens are wild in that number.
Yes,
isn't
it is.
877-927-4917. You can order them in packs of 10, and so but you can order more than one set. So you can get those, and as we call it, wear them and share them. Isn't that right,
Jerry? Wear them and share them, absolutely.
And, Alex, when you do that, a lot of folks will say, okay, tell me more, and it's an opportunity, isn't it?
Well, it really is, and we like to get them out and give them away. Angie and I have saved several that we use as Christmas ornaments on the Christmas tree. But, Brother Jerry, could you estimate how many of these you've given out over the years?
Tim and I said last year probably it's in the thousands, probably between 10 and 20,000. I picked up 500 the other day, and I've already given those out, and I'm picking up another 500 today. And probably in 2 weeks, I'll be back asking for another 500. Last year,
we passed out
2,500.
You need to get with the program, brother. I'm disappointed in how few that is. No, I'm kidding. Brother, it's convicting. You have really been an ambassador for Jesus Christ and for the Christmas buttons. And what's the reaction? Every year, the button is so nice, and you know, they're easy to give away. Folks, let me just say this, and I want to give that number again. It's 877-927-4917. Bert, did I get that right?
You got it right. Every number right.
Here's the thing. Maybe you're kind of shy, folks, and the idea of out there, you know, one-on-one evangelism, maybe that's intimidating. I don't know. This is so easy. Just smile and say, hey, may I give you this? God bless you. Children love them. It's just wonderful. But, Pastor, what's been the reaction as you've been giving these out?
Well, as I've said, Jesus says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Question is, Jerry, how can you lift up Jesus Christ? One of the ways I do that is through these Christmas buttons. And as I was sharing this morning, I was in a grocery store here last week, and a lady came around a corner. I mean, she was moving, and she slammed into my buggy, and she said, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't intend to do that. And I thought, no, I don't think you intended to do that. But I looked at her and smiled and said, no, but God intended for us to have this meeting here today at the grocery store. And so she started talking, and then she looked, and she said, I love that button. And she said, I'd like to have one. Well, I have a shirt that has a pocket on it, and I put a magnet on the inside of the pocket and the button on the outside of my shirt. And so I just pulled it off and handed it to her, and her toupee liked to flip when she saw me do that. And she said, well, I'm an evangelical Christian. And I said, well, I am too. And I asked her, I said, do you have a prepaid reservation? She thought a minute, and she said, yeah, I have a prepaid reservation. And I said, well, then we'll spend eternity together in heaven. Here, have this button and bless somebody with it. And so it was a wonderful conversation. But that happens all the time with these Christmas buttons.
Amen. Well, we're talking to Reverend Jerry Lawson. He's a friend of AFR, AFA, and just a dear man, loves the Lord Jesus and pastor. And it's always a joy to have him all this every year during this time for the buttons. I'm going to hold it up one more time. Here's my dilemma. I'm a little bit competitive, and I'll say, now, which button is the best or most attractive? I'll give this one an A+. It's really, really neat, red with the gold. And so I'm holding it up. You who are live streaming, listen, that ought to make you want one. And if you do it the way Brother Jerry does and get a magnet and stick it in that pocket and pull it off, it'll really get some people's attention. And you got one with you? Are you going to demonstrate?
There are magnets all over this studio today.
Okay, I'm going to try this, guys. Now, we're going to try this on live TV here. They're live TV, live streaming, live radio. So here it is. Matt, our board op, is asking for a button. And he says, can I have one? And I say, you sure can. And, man, I give it to Matt, and he just loves it. Okay.
There we go.
Man.
Children love them, too.
Amen. This is amazing. So you'll want to order these buttons, and you can do it now. They come in sets of 10, and you can get as many sets as you want. Now, if you want to do what Brother Jerry does, 500, and see what you can do. I know churches that order them as well, Brother Jerry.
Well, I tried to aggravate some ministers this year, giving them one pack of buttons of 10, and they've said, Brother Lawson, that's going to get me in trouble. I said, well, I hope it'll get you on the phone and order some buttons for the rest of your congregation. But let me say one thing. The children love these buttons.
Amen.
And I give these buttons to the parents and ask them to clip the little hook on the back off, and then I give them a magnet to go with it because I don't want a child to get pricked with that. But the magnets, but the parents and kids, they just love them.
Amen. Well, I love it, and let me just share with you. Brother Alex, I know you're there in Knoxville, Tennessee today.
Yes.
And I'm here. It's a joy to be with Jerry Lawson. The Holy Spirit of God have you met those people where the Holy Spirit of God just comes through them and spills out on you?
Amen. Yes. And
well, Brother
Pastor,
Jerry's
I appreciate
one of those.
You. Yeah. He really, really is. And folks, let me just encourage you to get enough of these to give them to your entire church. I mean, Bert, one of the questions we got this at the Fishbowl Retreat, how can I jumpstart my outreach, and how can we invite people to church? Well, you know, get 500 and give a button to everybody and say, look, through Thanksgiving up through Christmas, people are hungry, people are thinking about God, and they're thinking about the world situation. This is a prime opportunity. I'm going to give the number again. You can call up and get your supply. And as Christmas gets closer and closer, we can go out there and be an ambassador for the gospel. But it's 877-927-4917. Call up AFA, get some of these Christmas buttons. And it really is beautiful. I appreciate how you pointed that out, Bert. But I guarantee if you gave out 99 of these, nobody is going to turn you down. It's just too attractive.
They are. And if you don't want to call, you can go to resources.afa.net. And right there, streaming, is a picture of them where you can order them. It's so easy. Again, resources.afa.net. And so you can order those buttons, and you can wear them and share them all season long. Isn't that the theme?
Free shipping, too, today.
Free shipping today. So, man, you want to get your order in right now. Brother Jerry, thank you for being with us.
And let me just say, Alex and Bert, it has been so special for me to be here at AFA today and to be on the radio. This is a wonderful, wonderful Christian environment, and it makes me look forward to heaven.
Amen. We're going to be together.
Right on.
Jerry, thank you, brother. And we appreciate you. We're going to get into the book of Isaiah when we come back, and we'll be in chapter 2, starting with verse 5, and we'll see about what the day of the Lord has as we continue with exploring the Word.
We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she'll choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
But he saves the poor from the sword of their mouth and from the hand of the strong. So the helpless has hope, and injustice has shut its mouth.
American Family Radio.
I've seen shame, the kind that comes from mistakes, the kind that won't go away. When I turned around, they were right there to remind me. I've seen regret, the kind that messes with your head. The failures and the can't forgets. But standing here now, I'm thanking God it's behind me. Cause I've seen nail-scarred hands reach out and wipe it all away, yeah. Now I see grace, hallelujah.
Amen. I hope you're singing hallelujah. God's grace, it is amazing what it has done, what His grace is doing, and what it will do one day. Well, this is Bert and Alex, and we're in Isaiah chapter 2. And yesterday in chapter 2, we got into the temple of the Lord, verses 1 through 5, about coming to Jerusalem, and everything will be centered around the temple. As it says in verse 3, the latter part, "For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." That's what's going to happen. But guess what? There's going to be a day of judgment before that happens. And again, in chapter 2 following, there's a phrase, the day of the Lord. And then you'll see in that day, and you'll see the terror of the Lord. Now, Alex, again, when you start in verse 6 and you go all the way through chapter 4, verse 6, the last chapter, you're talking about this one sermon that Isaiah probably taught. You can let me share with you this, and I'll throw it to you. What you see when he starts his first sermon in chapter 1, he starts out the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, and then verse 2, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear." But in chapter 2, verse 1, when he starts out, the word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning. In other words, it was another thought, another sermon that he would preach. And so they're all the way through the book of Isaiah. And the chapters don't necessarily divide up those sermons, because the chapter would be long, long, long. But here we find out the day of the Lord. Let me read that and then I'll throw it to you. Verse 6, "For you have forsaken your people, the house of Jacob, because they are filled with eastern ways. They are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they are pleased with the children of foreigners. For their land is full of silver and gold. There's no end to their treasures." He goes on, but guess what they do? Verse 8, "The land is full of idols. They worship at their own hands that their fingers have made. People bow down to each man humbles himself. Therefore, do not forgive them." They think that they're that chapter 1, when it covered how many sacrifices they were making, that it would cover their waywardness. Let me see, Alex, does God look on the heart and not just on actions going through? They have they have what you would call a sense of God, but they're not worshiping Him.
"Sacrifice and offering thou did not desire," you know? And the Bible says it is not possible for the blood of bull and goats to take away sin. Bert, I was going through Isaiah chapter 2, and, you know, we could hear of several sermons about things you just don't hear preached on very much. Repeatedly in chapter 2 of Isaiah, you get these words. Listen, folks, "The day of the Lord, the word of the Lord, the light of the Lord," praise God, but over and over, "the terror of the Lord." Yes, the terror of the Lord. Now, Bert, I know God is loving, God is merciful, God is very, very patient with us, but if you look over and over at verses 10 and following, you know, "Enter into the rock, hide in the dust from the terror of the Lord, the glory of His majesty." It goes on, it says, "The Lord alone will be exalted in that day." I want to tell you, during the tribulation, and then when Christ returns, when that eastern sky splits open and Jesus returns victorious, King of Kings, there's not going to be diversity and pluralism and inclusion, and, you know, we all believe what we want to believe and everything is equally true. No. It goes on and it says that the ones who made idols of gold, says, "In that day a man will cast away his idols of silver and idols of gold." You know, it's like, Lord, that wasn't mine, that idol there. And it says, they'll try to go into the clefts of the rocks, the crags of the rugged rocks, from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake the earth mightily.
Wow. That's in now, verses 20 and 21 now, those of you that are keeping letter, up with us. Yeah.
But Bert, I love, you know, the word of the Lord will go forth from Jerusalem. And indeed, you know, for 2,000 years it has. And I hope that you've responded to the light of the Lord. But let's not forget, there's a warning of the day of the Lord and the terror of the Lord.
There really is. And again, it's of the Lord. Who's in charge? God is. It's just like when Jesus was being arrested and they thought they were making all the decisions. Honestly, Jesus was the one who is in charge. He's the one that was bringing this about. He chose the time for when they would come to arrest him. He did not do it, and it did not catch him. Oh, I wasn't expecting you. No, he was there. And so God has this time of judgment that's going to come, and it will come. And it introduces chapter 3 again. Part of the same sermon that he's preaching, verse 1, "For behold, the Lord of hosts, takes away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stock and the store, the whole supply of bread and the whole supply of water, the mighty man and the man of war, the judge, the prophet, the diviner, the elder, the captain of 50 and the honorable men, the counselor and the skillful artisan and the expert enchanter." Who in the world does he not do that to, Alex? It's quite a list there, isn't it?
Well, it really is. It really is. Like you said, who is in control? The Lord is in control. And all of these that, it mentions everybody from just the ordinary person, the honorable man, the captain of 50, the skillful man. The whole of the human race is under the watchful eye and the sovereign authority of God. But I want to say this too, Bert, and I'll throw it back to you. The whole of the human race is accountable to God, aren't we?
We are. That's the reason, if you want to know the truth, that's the reason Darwinian evolution has been popularized and desired, is not because of the science behind it, but because of the philosophy behind it, that if God is not my creator, I'm not accountable. I'm on my own. But the idea that God does not exist, that God is not the creator, then I'm my own God. I'm the one that determines everything. But if God is the creator, Alex, there's some responsibility and accountability there, isn't it?
Well, let me say this. I was on a radio show early this morning, and I was asked to comment on Noah's Ark, because in Turkey they have done some, ultrasound or x-rays into part of the ground, and they wonder if they've found the hull of the remains of Noah's Ark. Maybe, I'm not for sure. But I was doing research getting ready for this interview, and I was looking at the comments. You know, very often under an article, the comments can be very revealing. And somebody, you know, there were just a number of comments where people said, "Why in the world is this even in the news?" Somebody said, you know, "Only fools would believe the Bible this person wrote. Oh my goodness, Noah's Ark," and just unspeakably vile things about the Word of God. Now, by the way, for the record, I absolutely do believe in Noah's Ark. I believe in the global flood. I've been to places like the Grand Canyon and seen fossils. Bert, I saw what's called a polystrate tree, 40 feet long fossilized tree, through, quote, millions of years of layers of sediment. I don't believe in that. But here's my point. Darwinian evolution and the rejection of the flood, the rejection of what God says about our origins, I think that's appealing to a lost world because they don't like the idea of being accountable to God. And there's this visceral reaction that whenever archaeology confirms the Bible, as it so frequently does, or whenever it's in the news about, yes, the Bible is trustworthy, many people push back on that because the idea of accounting to God and humbling ourselves and realizing that, yes, we're answerable to God, a lot of people don't like that.
They do not. Matter of fact, you're talking about archaeology. I just read today released that on October the 22nd this year in Jerusalem, as they're digging and finding, they found pottery with an Assyrian emblem on it there in Jerusalem. Now, again, where's the evidence that Assyria did such a thing or tried to take over Jerusalem? They did take over the northern kingdom, but they were coming after the southern kingdom, and that's what we're studying here in Isaiah. Isaiah said Assyria is not going to do it, but Babylon would take them, take them away later. But there was the sign, again, archaeology proving the Bible. It happens again and again and again. Alex, is there, if I read chapter 3, verse 8, I think we're trying to select certain verses here. Notice this. For Jerusalem stumbled and Judah is fallen because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory. Now, I want to tell you, that sums it up. It sums it up in a person's life, a church's life. If we stumble, we fall, and our tongue and doings are against the Lord, listen, how can we go to him? How can we ask him? It says, the look on their countenance witnesses against them. They have declared their sin as Sodom. They do not hide it. Woe to their soul, for they have brought evil upon themselves. Underline that last phrase. They've brought this evil upon themselves. They had heard what God demanded. He did that even in the wilderness, and even he had reminded them again and again. But they did what? They brought the evil upon themselves. It's a pretty striking comment there, isn't it?
It is. But do you know, the Lord protects his church. Say to the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe to the wicked, it shall be ill with him. You know, in talking about this judgment and the future, Bert, I remember how in Revelation 6, during the tribulation, people will cry to the rocks, fall on us, save us from the wrath of the Lamb. By the way, that's an interesting image, isn't it? Because a little lamb is a gentle little thing, but the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus, he is coming in wrath on a fallen world, but it's not getting up under a rock that'll prepare you for that. It's getting up under the righteousness and the blood of Calvary, and you'll be secure. But it goes on, chapter 3 goes on about the Lord pleads to judge the people. The Lord will enter into judgment with the elders of his people. Bert, I think God, through the Holy Spirit, is even pleading now, not only interceding our advocate, but calling people to Jesus. We have when you think of pleading, calling out. We have a God that calls out to the human race, don't we?
Yes, he's running after us. He desires that relationship. He does everything to tear down the barriers so that that relationship that we can have with him become real to us. So he does the elders, as we said in chapter 3, about what was going to happen, and he covers everybody in chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. And now in verse 14, as you just read, the elders and the princes, those in leadership, they're going to be judged. And now I think it's very interesting. We have a few minutes to do this. It goes to the ones that's kind of surprising. You think of the women being more prone to listen to the Lord. Listen to what it says in verse 16. Moreover, the Lord says, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with outstretched necks and wanton eyes, walking in menacing as they go, making a jingling with their feet, the Lord will strike with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the cover will uncover their secret paths. In that day, the Lord will take away the finery, the jingling anklets, the scarves, the crescents, the pendants, the bracelets, the veils, the headdresses, the leg ornaments, the headbands, the box perfumes, the charms and the rings, the nose jewels, the festival apparel and the mantles, the outer garments, the purses and the mirrors, the fine linen, the turbans and the robes. Man, there's nothing left. Again, this is the women who are who are wanting their husbands, yeah, we want more. Go ahead and make these alliances with these countries because we want more of what they bring us. So these women have sold themselves out to the finery that they thought they were getting, Alex.
Well, and you know that passage there in 16 and following, it speaks of exposure and humiliation. And, you know, a godly woman is just such an impressive thing to think about, but a wanton woman, you don't hear that word too much anymore. The Bible uses it, and God sees, and hey, men need to repent and walk right, so do women. We are supposed to humble ourselves, and there's some pretty, if you look into the background of some of those words, I mean, it is a rather severe judgment God has. 24 and following, and so it shall be, instead of a sweet smell, there will be a stench. Instead of a sash, like a velvet belt or something, a rope, like bondage and even judgment. Instead of well-set hair, baldness. Instead of a rich robe, a girding of sackcloth. 24 through 26 are contrasts. As the chapter closes, blessing versus judgment. And really, those two options are before us today, too, as well.
It really is. She, being desolate, shall sit on the ground, not on a throne, not anywhere, but on the ground will be brought low. We're going to take Bible questions. That number, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Give us a call with your Bible question.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. We're going to pick it up tomorrow with Isaiah chapter 4. I'm going to give out two phone numbers, so listen very carefully if you would. If you have a Bible question, the number is 888-589-8840. As always, 888-589-8840. But earlier in the show, we were talking about the annual, this is a tradition, the AFA Christmas button. And this is so beautiful. If you want to get a supply of those, I'm going to get 500 to give away, and it won't take long. But here's the number for that. Listen carefully. It's different than the Bible question number, but that number is 877-927-4917. 877-927-4917. And you'll want to get some of these Christmas buttons. What a great witnessing opportunity. And, you know, Bert, being an evangelist, I love when Christians take up the mandate to be a witness. And this is the easiest sharing of Jesus you'll ever do. Everybody will want one. And if you get a pack of 10 or 1,000, and you'll just have the Christmas spirit everywhere you go as you gently remind people about not only the Christmas season, but history itself. It really is all about Jesus.
It is. Alex is giving that phone number. The website is resources.afa.net, resources.afa.net, and you can see what it looks like there as you order them. So we hope that you'll do that and make much of Jesus, and as they say, wear and share all season long. Well, Alex, we've got people who have called in. Let's go to the phone lines. Is that all right?
Okay.
Let's go to Kansas and talk to Fred. Fred, thank you for calling today.
Hello, mighty men of God.
Good to hear from
Glory
you, brother.
To God.
Yes, good to hear from you,
yeah,
Fred.
I called last week and asked about books by Augustine, and you recommended two different ones. And
yes.
I was able to check them out of the local public library here in Wichita.
Wonderful.
And I was just wondering, City of God has 400,000 words in it,
yeah.
And I guess I was a little overwhelmed. Is there a Cliff Notes version of that book?
That is a great question. Certainly there must
hey,
be.
You're reminding me of college, Fred.
Class of 76.
Okay, Cliff Notes, man. I was that was good. I'm sorry. I couldn't help but think of that. Alex, I don't know that question, if that does or not, a smaller and there's another way, the Reader's Digest version.
Yeah.
You remember how they would shorten great stories, you know? So
yeah,
that's what Fred's looking for.
You know, what it's called, and there are several out there, of Augustine's Abridged City of God. And do you know what? Originally, it was 22 volumes. See, here's the thing. And Augustine, in all seriousness, he is one of the most important philosophers that ever lived. And just think, Bert, that's only appropriate since the church, it's all about Jesus, and it's Jesus is the truth. Do you know several of the most important thinkers that ever lived, like ever, Augustine and Aquinas and several others? But there are Abridged City of God out there. There was one by a guy named Henry Bettinson, Bettenson, and it was published by Penguin Books, and that's kind of one of the gold standard ones of the truncated, shortened City of God. But I'm going to summarize it in like one sentence. And if anybody ever says, well, Christians should not be involved in politics, or, you know, religion has no place in the public square, Augustine basically says, till we are in the City of God, we have an obligation to the City of Man.
Amen.
And now we are born again and saved from the world, but until we leave this world and go to heaven, the abode of God, we are to be salt and light. And, you know, 1,600 years hence, that message is still relevant, isn't it, Bert?
It really is. Fred, thank you for calling. Appreciate you, brother. Appreciate you listening and calling. Let's go to Ohio and talk to Bob. Bob, thank you for calling today.
Hey, guys.
Good to hear from you, man. Yeah. Go right ahead.
Okay, great. Hey, say, enjoy your show. Enjoy your study. I was excited when you guys were talking about Isaiah chapter 2 because of what it says there in verses 2, 3, and 4.
Yes.
And I thought it was way cool that it points out that many people in verse 3 shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And to me, that shows Israel's spiritual authority over the Gentiles. And then if you keep reading in verse 4, it says, and he shall judge among the nations and rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares. And the verse goes on, but it says, but I think that shows the political authority of the nation Israel over the Gentiles.
Okay, what you're going to have, this is, again, I checked it out. There's some things about it, but more than anything else, in the latter days, in verse 2. Alex, again, I think this is looking to the day, and I think, Bob, God's not through with the nation of Israel because he has plans for them and plans. Let me put it this way, Alex, and I'll throw it to you. He's always had plans for that land. And that yes. land has been very special. The most fought over area the world has ever known is right there. But it was given originally to the children of Israel so they could be witnesses, a geographical witness that when the three continents that close to connect there, at that time, that's what they knew, they would see God's people living in God's ways. It hasn't happened. But I believe it will happen. I think it has got some future ramifications, doesn't it?
Yeah. You know, in Zechariah 2, verse 8, it talks about Israel being the apple of God's eye, which literally means the pupil. And if you poke somebody in the eye, they would react. And that's why when anti-Semitism or being dismissive of the Jews, or I even think like replacement theology, that, and I've, listen, I love the body of Christ, but I've talked to a lot of people who really don't care anything about standing up for Israel, you know, that's the apple of God's eye. Now, everybody, Jew, Gentile, you must be saved by believing in Jesus. That's Romans 1:16 and elsewhere. But I want to say, God still has plans for the land. God still has plans for the Jewish people. Romans 11:18 says that we non-Jews are the grafted in secondary branches, but Israel was the root. And so I believe one day, Bert, in the literal fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant, and like the caller says, that the oracles of God, the law of God, goes forth from Jerusalem.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And we are part of the church, the born-again bride of Christ, banded together for the purpose of world evangelization. But folks, familiarize yourself with Israel, and remember, God is not done with the Jewish people.
Amen. Thank you, Bob. Appreciate you. Let's go to North Carolina, and it's Gary. Gary, thank you for calling today.
Hello, brothers. Enjoy your program.
Thank you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go right ahead. Yes. Loud and clear, brother.
Okay. All right. When Jesus comes back, he's coming back on a white horse. It also says that the those in white clothing, which I believe is the body of Christ, are coming back on white horses. I'm kind of excited about riding a white horse down to heaven, down to earth.
Amen.
But when we get there, most of the people that are going to be there are unbelievers. So, because God, Jesus is going to wipe out that army of the devils, and most of the people are going to have the marks on them. So I was wondering how all that's going to work out.
Alex, you were a horseman growing up, weren't you?
Do you know, I was 21 before I didn't have a horse.
I thought I remembered. We did not. I hate to tell you what we had some of the time, a mule. Quite a bit of difference than a horse and a mule. And he came riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, but when he comes back, he's coming back on that white stallion, isn't he?
Yeah, you know, I got to say, my dad, rest his soul, when my sister was born on the day of her birth, she was given a horse, and I was too. My horse was named Star. But listen, we're all going to be equestrians one day. And in Revelation chapter 19, and by the way, Bert and I write about this. We've got a brand new book that just came out a couple weeks ago on Bible questions and prophecy, and it's the third in our series of y'all's questions, really. But yeah, you know, at the end of the tribulation period, and there are millions that have taken the mark of the Antichrist and 200 million soldiers that gather at Armageddon, not just to fight against the people of God, but really the Antichrist and Satan marshals these millions of people really to try to kill God. But of course, King Jesus comes leading on a white horse, and then 10,000 times 10,000 follow behind. And I do love horses. I really do. But I want to say to everybody, saddle up, fellow believers,
because
we're going to ride behind the king.
Amen. And his sword is in his mouth. In other words, not going to be much as he spoke, you know, he created. For him to be redeemed, he had to die and rise again. But for him to reclaim this earth, he speaks as a sword in his mouth. It's going to be great. And you want to be there. You can be there by trusting Jesus Christ as Savior. You don't want to put it off. You don't want to wait till tomorrow, because nobody knows what tomorrow may bring. So trust him now. Let's go to Ohio again and talk to Will this time. Will, thank you for calling.
Thanks for having me.
Yes,
can
sir.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Go right ahead,
welcome,
brother.
The last question kind of touched a little bit on what my question was. It's about the extent of the size of the number of people in heaven. In Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he said, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the road and wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter in that. And only a few find the way. Why is that, do you think, that so few find the way in comparison to all who've lived in history?
Let me answer one, and it'll be a biblical answer. And Alex, you fill it out. It's because men, and it's a biblical answer, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And that's why Darwinian evolution, as we said earlier, caught on so much. It wasn't because of the scientific discovery. It was because of the philosophy. If there's no God, no creator, then we are not accountable to him. Alex, even though it's narrow and, you know, if you find it, it's going to be plenty of people there, right?
Yeah. Do you know, I had the privilege of going to graduate school under a very brilliant scholar named Norm Geisler, and he's in heaven. I would urge you to look at any or all of his books, Norman L. Geisler. And he used to give a sermon on why there are going to be more people in heaven than hell. And I know if you read the parable of the four soils, you might think, well, are only 25% of the human race going to get saved? And Dr. Geisler, he was very biblical and very rigid. Let me tell you, he was not loosey-goosey on anything. And we don't have time to recount the whole message here. But, you know, Revelation 7, I believe it's 7 verse 9, it says, there was a multitude that no man could number, whose robes are washed and they're clothed in white. And Dr. Geisler talked about, you know, throughout history, multitudes of children were either stillborn or died in childhood. They're under grace. But let me just say this. As C.S. Lewis and Billy Graham both would say, that the door to hell is locked on the inside. If you look at Revelation 3:20, and there's been a very famous painting by Warner Salmon, Christ standing at the door of the heart knocking. The fact is, anybody that wants Jesus can have and know Jesus. And those that are not in heaven were those that didn't want to go there. Only God knows the ultimate numbers. But I know God. God is calling even right now. Bert, there might even be somebody right now listening. And the Lord Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. And he's as close by as a prayer. And I'll say this. I'll throw it back to you, Bert. I can't speak for this one or that one. There's only one person that I can oversee the condition of their heart, and that's Alex McFarland. Folks, make sure that you're going to be in heaven by having put your faith in Jesus.
And if you need help, we have friends, they're partners, 888 Need Him. You can call them, they'll talk with you, they'll help you, and they will share with you the good news of Jesus Christ. Boots from Texas, we're not going to be able to get to you today. Appreciate you, brother. Appreciate that. And asking God just to bless you. On this last minute, I wanted to save time so we could give it one more shot here. The Christmas buttons. Jesus, our joy for all eternity. Hallelujah. Amen. If you know that joy, you're ready to receive it. You can call 877-927-4917 and order those buttons, or you can go online at resources.afa.net, wear them and share them, but you got to order them first. Alex, we're excited about the Christmas buttons and asking God to bless it, aren't we?
We are. And folks, God bless each and every one of you. Thank you for listening to Exploring the Word and the great programming on AFR. We'll continue, God willing, in Isaiah again tomorrow. But in the meantime, tell somebody about the American Family Association and tell everybody about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
We'd like to thank Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion. And every day, their network clinics rescue 200 babies. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.